Hello, Battleground. Steve Shinholzer here with my bi-weekly podcast. Listen, today's a big topic. This is going to be my holiday gift to you. I'm not sure if this is coming out before or after the holidays, but nonetheless, this is probably the most important thing that I've ever achieved in my life. And it's the one thing that every person on the planet wants to do, and that's be happy. And how do you be happy? You have to learn to reprogram your brain and literally change your mindset. You've always heard the thing, you are what you think, okay? And how do you change your thinking? Well, when bad thoughts come into my head or your head, you can override them with good thoughts, but this takes a lot of practice. There's a book, and you should read it. It's called Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. He talks about the inner roommate that lives in our heads. You know, the one that's talking to you all the time. Well, they talk shit to us all the time. And their job is to keep us in our comfort zone and let us not expand outward, because it started in the caveman days. Think about it. If you didn't stay in the cave and you ventured outside that comfort zone of the cave, you get eaten by a saber-toothed tiger. That's where it all started. And now all the way up today, if you enter out of your comfort zone, you're afraid someone might bash you on social media or give you a bad review. And then it's the same thing as a saber-toothed tiger. Your brain doesn't know the difference between a bad review and a saber-toothed tiger. Literally, you have the same physiological reaction to both. So think about that. So I have this new technique I just started. I've gone through a lot of personal shit lately in my life, and I've done a lot of reading. I talked to counselors and things. And the one thing that really helps me big time, I'm going to give you some practical tips for today, and I'm going to teach you the techniques I go through to change my life and try to get happier and have a better outlook and a happier outlook on life. So when negative thoughts arrive in my head, and they do dozens of times a day, I stop and I say, I am grateful for, and then I fill in the blank. And I'll just give you some examples. I'm grateful for a sunny day, beautiful weather, and I'm out here walking in it. I'm grateful for my brand new walking shoes, which feel awesome. I'm grateful for that I got four kids that not just love me, but like me and actually want to talk to me. So there's tons. If you just look around, you might be grateful for a good night's sleep. You might be grateful that you have a car that, you know what, starts every single time that you try to start it up. When I was in high school, I'm 66, that wasn't a foregone conclusion that your car would start every time or would get you from point A to point B. So one of the techniques, a strong technique, I've been doing this for probably 10 or 15 years, particularly since I've been coaching. When I hear good stuff, I send myself an email. I just stop and go, oh, I just heard something fantastic. And I send myself an email, because every time I learn something, I'm learning it with the idea to share it. Now, that's also sidebar, secret to life. I'm the happiest when I'm sharing with other people the most. And you got to be sharing for the right reasons, okay? It's got to come from the heart. And that's what I'm here doing today, because I love this stuff. So these are just random emails I've sent myself in the last month. To give you an example, and you can do your form of this yourself. Basically, I'm just trying to fill my brain with good stuff to push out the bad stuff. It's that simple. So your brain, first email, your brain works just like YouTube. The more you watch videos, the more YouTube sends you the exact same type of videos to watch. Well, the more you think about things, both positive and negative, your brain serves up more YouTube to feed yourself. Basically, whatever you're thinking about keeps reoccurring over and over and over. So if you make it good shit, you'll get good shit over and over and over. If you make it bad shit, guess what? Okay. Basically, if you tell me what your thoughts are, I can tell you who you are and how you're living. Do you live a joyful life? Are you in agony because you're beating yourself up all day long? You have a choice to change that. Next, pain is a stepping stone of growth. This is the reason I'm sitting here doing a podcast today. If you'd have told me years ago I'd have been doing this, I'd have said, you're crazy. Public speaking, crazy. Sales, crazy. QuickBooks, crazy. Well, the point is, now I teach all these things because at one point I had to get out of my comfort zone and learn this stuff. You got to basically pick your pain here. You either have the pain of staying exactly where you are in life, the same, okay, and deal with the current pain. And how's that going for you, by the way? My guess is not too great, because you wouldn't be listening to me if everything was just fantastic. I mean, who looks like a podcast to improve yourself when everything's fantastic? Not too many people. The other pain you have to pick is the pain of change. The pain of change is so immense. It hurts. This is, you ever done a role play? We do hundreds, thousands of them in our group, because this is how contractors learn to sell. They call up other contractors, and one plays the client, one plays the contractor, and they role play and they go through the 5-step Shin Fu process. That's really painful. We all don't like it. Not all of us are actors up on the stage. We feel super uncomfortable about it, super uncomfortable about public speaking. That's like the number one fear of adults in America or all around the world. They're afraid, scared to get up in front of people and talk. Once you do it once, twice, three times, you can get over it. Maybe not 100%, but no matter what you try to do, it gets easier with time. So deal with it. Stay the same or change. The pain is up to you to pick. Next, unsolicited advice is abuse. I said this to myself because I'm a coach. I give a lot of advice out, but I have to remind myself not to overdo it with the advice, with the pontifications, with diarrhea of the mouth, with all of this. I have to walk a fine line because I'm pretty hard to take, because I'm pretty much, I say what's on my mind, I tell it like it is, and I'm very straightforward because I don't have the time to nurture and coddle you and beat around the bush. I don't take the time. I just want to get right to the truth. And once you listen to me for a while, you know that it's all coming from the heart, and that my spirit of conversation with you is a good one, not a bad one. I mean you happiness, health, financial freedom, all that stuff. I do not mean you any harm or disrespect whatsoever. Next, big one, live in the moment. Yes, I set myself an email that says reminds myself to live in the moment. This is the hardest thing, I think, for humans to do. There's a guy in our group called, we call him Yoda. His name's Chris Dwyer. And I actually paid him for 10, 20 one-hour sessions. He's like a yogi, a yoga dude. And just teaching me about, like, what is this mindfulness stuff? So this is sort of the way I approach things. If I find a topic I want to know about, I just go hire a coach. And, you know, I could read volumes of stuff and hopefully assimilate it, maybe not, or just go to the best of the best. I remember over a year ago learning archery. It was about a year ago. I had done it for 1 month. I got exposed to it in Scotland. I came home, bought a bunch of bows and arrows, and I practiced. Well, I said, I got to get good. So what did I do? I went on YouTube and found the top tier coaches on YouTube in the world. Well, one of them lives in Gainesville, Florida. He won a silver medal in the 2012 Olympics and another silver in 2016 Olympics. And I'm like, shit, 2 silver medals? He's got to be pretty good. So I sent him an email that, hey, I'm brand new. I've only been doing this a month. You seem to be world class. How about if I fly to your city and you pour into me everything you know about archery and I'll come down there for 3 days? Name your price. So he did. So I did. I went down there and I spent 3 fantastic days with this really good archer dude, and it gave me a great foundation to shoot arrows. Now, from, you know, 60 feet, I could pretty much put at least half my arrows in the size of a small deck of cards kind of thing. But the point is, I'm willing to do that kind of shit, not just sit back and watch, but actually engage and participate and go out of my way. There was something I email myself also. It says, and this is about living in the moment, right? It says, yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. Why do you think they call it the present? I'm like, boom, man, that's it. I never thought about just in the moment, here and now, is the gift, the present. This is what, you know, we are all so busy worrying about shit that just happened, worrying about shit that is gonna happen, but we have no control over. We have no control over either one, but we're screwing up the moment. We're not like enjoying this right here, right now. So just enjoy today, okay? And if you string enough of these, I'm enjoying today, you put them together, before you know it, you'll make a lifetime of joy and happiness. Think about that. Your goal every day is just string together good days. Just think good shit and string it together. I'm not saying stuff doesn't happen. You might get a flat tire. You might get a rejection on the job. You might get a speeding ticket. Who knows? Stuff happens. You just got to deal with it and move on. Remember, it's not what happens to us. It is how we deal with it. Do we let our brains spin out of control and make a mountain out of a molehill? Or do we go, fuck it. Okay, it happened. Let's move on. Let's have a good day. That is called practice. That practice over and over works. Next. And this is, you know, these inspirations I get that I email myself, they come from everybody and everything. So this one is from my youngest son, TJ. He's 28 years old. He's been through some shit himself, flunked out of college. He's finally getting his shit together. He built a business down in Charlotte, North Carolina, pawn business, and it's going really well. He has a really good balance between having a real enjoyable life and a good business that makes a ton of money. So he said to me, if you don't do the things that you don't want to do, you won't get to do the things that you do want to do. It's so simple, isn't it? So nobody wants to do. The difference between successful and unsuccessful people is successful people do that stuff that nobody wants to do. The mundane stuff, the QuickBooks, the role playing, the, you know, tracking all your stuff. Who wants to do that? It's not fun, but it sets you up for the future. So remember, if you don't want to do the things that you don't want to do, then you won't get to do the things that you do want to do. That's the pain thing. A little bit of short-term pain now for a hell of a lot of long-term gain later, right? That's what we want. Next. This is fantastic. It's about getting out of your comfort zone. It says, a ship in a harbor is safe, but that ain't what ships are built for. So get out of your comfort zone. Go sail your ship. You are given this fantastic brain, this fantastic body, and I think you're probably underutilizing it. Get the hell out and do something different. I mean, a week ago, I moved to Florida after 50 years in Maryland. I moved to a place called The Villages. It's a 55 and up community. It's literally like a pretty upscale spa, a giant one with all the activities combined with Disney World. You've added an Amex card, and this place is freaking awesome. Every day I look up, hundreds of things to do. I pick out two or three activities and I go do them and then dance at night. That's what I did. I just sailed my ship. I'm like, okay, I got to get out of Maryland. What am I going to do? I'm going where there's happy people. I'm going where people go to live their best lives. I'm going to a place where people literally want to be their true selves and not the self they thought the world wanted to see. See, most of us live our whole lives being the person that we think the world wants us to be, not what we really want to be. That's the number one regret of people that are dying, that have time to think about death and life. They wish they would have lived their true self, not this bullshit self that they thought everybody else wanted to live. This is what my son TJ is trying to do. He has work, he has a job, he has a company, and it's hard. But he knows it's got to produce enough money so he can travel the world and do the things he wants to do. It's the balance, and it's hard. You know, my first job, I had no balance. I worked my ass off. You know, my second job, I was a spinning instructor. It was all great fun, but it made no money. So I found the pawn thing. That was a good balance. I had a good life, and I made good money. So it was awesome.
How often do you waste your time with people who are never going to be your customer? You spend time on site, you bond, they give you a donut, they're saying all the right things, and you think you've got this job in the bag. And then you send them your numbers and they ghost you or they blow you off, they tell you you're too expensive, you fill in the blank. If you're sick of that and you want to learn how to spot a tire kicker from 10 miles away, go to thecontractorfight.com/cheap. and download our guide to spotting cheap prospects. It's an amazing resource to help you protect your time and make sure that you only spend time with people who are going to be your customer. Head to thecontractorfight.com/cheap today.
Next email. I hope you're writing this stuff down, by the way. Good relationships keep us healthier and happier, period. If you want to make one good decision your entire life to ensure your own health and happiness, it should be to cultivate warm relationships of all kinds. This is not just your spouse. This is your family, the ones you selected in life, and also the ones you were born with in life. This is your clients. This is your employees. This is everybody around you. You should cultivate great, warm relationships. Warren Buffett's biggest thing, I ended this with a talk on stage a few months back, be kind, because it says, you know what? I know a whole lot of rich people that died alone, okay? But I don't know one kind person that died alone. So be kind. He also has another little tip. He says, you know what? If you want to live a good life, an honorable life, write up your own obituary. I mean, the stuff you want to hear people say about you and your time on this planet. And then you spend the rest of your life trying to live up to that obituary. Think about that. Write what you want to write and spend the rest of your life trying to live up to that. Next, you are the average of the five people you hang out with, your five friends. I know you've heard this a ton. I've heard it a ton. Why do I send it to myself? Because I know it's true. I'll just give you a true story. 2-3 weeks ago, I was in Japan, went there for 2 weeks with my kids, went to 4 or 5 different cities. It was all nice. Because of my income level, I get some of the top rooms on the concierge level. It's not crazy stupid. We're not talking $1,400 bucks a night, but this one particular place was $700 bucks a night. But guess what? It's worth it. In the concierge level, it overlooks the city. I think we were in Osaka, Tokyo, but it was just unbelievable. The view was beautiful. And the people you sit with are other very successful people, just like you. See, if you hang around in a crack den, who are going to be the people that influence you? Crackheads. If you hang around at a 5-star concierge level at a beautiful hotel because you've worked your ass off and you got the money to do that, guess who you're hanging around with? Other people that worked their ass off that made their money themselves. Yeah. You know, you'll get some blue blood, some people that just inherited shit or they won the lottery, but that's really 1%. I'm telling you, all the rich people, all the upper level people I've ever met, 99% of them made the money themselves. And what do you talk about? We sit there and we talk about experiences in life. We don't talk about money. Money's kind of given. Like, we don't have that obstacle of money that gets in between us and our dreams. We get to just go live our dreams. We want to go to Tokyo for 2 weeks with our kids, sit in a fucking nice bass, you know, concierge level. That's what we do. I would sit there in Tokyo. It was Tokyo with a couple. This dude had a scuba diving excursion company. I'm thinking, wow, that's kind of niche. He just sets up people to go scuba dive. And I'm like, yeah, how many people you got working for you? He goes, not many, 80. I'm like, holy shit. And my pond company, I had what? In season, I had 6 or 7 with 3 of those being college kids that were going back in August. That was just in the summer. But I only carried like 4 people. I couldn't imagine keeping 80. So I sat there and we talked about, you know, we talked about it. He goes, yeah, I'm 40 years old and I'm kind of burned out. I'm looking for the next thing. And I'm like, he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm retired and I'm searching for happiness. He goes, you know what? That's what I'm doing too. I want to live my best life. So you know what this dude was? He was from the Netherlands. He moved about 10 years ago to Thailand. He's 40 years old now. And he was sitting there with his very smart, very attractive Thai wife. She probably looked 35, something like that. But the point is, we had the most elevated, fantastic conversation about what can life offer us? What can we do to have a better existence? And quite honestly, we both said we want to serve others in some capacity. So we had the same mindset of our true happiness comes from truly helping someone else reach their happiness. Let me give you one more example, a big example of, you know, who you hang with influences who you are. I was with my buddy, I'm going to call him Brad, and this is probably 6, 7, 8 years ago-ish, maybe 10, but it was way before the pandemic, and we were sitting there, we go out to dinner, you know, I've been friends with him three, four years, and I know he does really well. He has his own, he lends used car dealers money so people can buy used cars. So he's in the money business, a capital business. And we were just talking. I'm like, hey, Brad, you know, what kind of money you got saved up for retirement? Because, you know, you got the same number of kids as me. We kind of live the same lifestyle. I'm wondering what you're thinking. And, you know, we're pretty good friends. So he goes, I saved up $6 million. I'm like, Jesus Christ, I only saved up $3 million. I did the calculations. I thought that's what I'd be needing. He goes, I'm like, why'd you get to six? We're like, we're the same age. He's like, well, I got a funny feeling my kids are going to be really expensive in adulthood. And I'm like, wow, I never even actually thought about that. I was just trying to think about how much money I would need with my wife, you know, how much the two of us would need for the rest of our life, not continuing on with feeding six people. But so I remember I got out of that dinner. I got in a car with my wife. I was like, man, I feel like such a loser. I've only saved $3 million and Brad saved six. She goes, Steve, I think we got enough. You don't beat yourself up about that. But guess what? I did. And you know what? That three in my stock portfolio over the next 8 years grew to eight. Literally, based on a conversation that this guy just lit a fire under my ass. And I said, you know what? I got to step up my savings game. I did pretty good. This is a pawn business. You know, I'm running out of my garage. I got four employees, right? I don't have a big operation. But the thing, you know, we were doing $1 million and 1.5 a year, and I'm putting four of that in my pocket every year. So I could put away 100 every single year. And that's what I started doing. And that's how I went from, you know, $3 million to $8 million in my stock portfolio. Literally over, I'm just guessing, it was probably 8 years. But, you know, and of course, stocks have skyrocketed. But it's, again, you got to pick your pain, man. What are you going to do? Am I going to put some money in the stock market and just live and die with the pain of it going up and down? And hopefully at the end, I get to live the life I want, you know? Anyway, so these are just emails that I send myself. You see, they're kind of wide ranging and they're all over the place, but I read them and then they just sit there. They sit there. These have been, you know, some of these are 1 month old, 2 weeks old, 2 months old. And I just want to share these thoughts with you. So I got two more. One, and this is from Tom Reber. And I got this from his talk in Denver, last Denver. It says, be in touch with your dreams, not your problems. And that is the point of this whole how to change your brain, how to change your thinking, how to have a happy life. See, the people that have happy lives are always in touch with the positive things, the dreams of their lives, and that where they like to live. My mom is a great example. She's my hero. That's who I want to be like. She takes every situation and spins it in a positive way. And she's the happiest person I know. A lot of us just want to live with our problems. We ruminate over and over about the problems that are gone and the problems that might crop up. And it just ruins the moment. And we live a life of misery. So if you're that, stop it. Right the fuck now, stop it. Just replace. Remember, whenever a bad thought comes, say, I am grateful for, and you fill in the blank. Next one, and the last one. This is a great book, a book on happiness. I forget, you know, sorry about the title, all that kind of stuff. But it was written, not written by Oprah, but she endorsed it. And she also comes on the book and gives a paragraph here and there. And I'm going to look this up for us so I can tell it. But she has this great, look, it's called Build the Life You Want by Arthur Brooks. Build the Life You Want. It's by Arthur Brooks with Oprah somehow in there. But, and I'm not a huge Oprah fan, but, you know, she's successful and she's very positive. But she has this thing. And basically, Arthur talks about the way to deal with life and become happy. It's, you know, when shit happens, deal with it. Okay. A cop's pulling me over. Great. He gives me a speeding ticket. Great. Okay. I got the speeding ticket because I was speeding. So I'll just pay the motherfucker and get on with my life. That's what they're talking about. She says, she has this quote. It says, feel the feel and then take the wheel. That means just deal with it. Okay, this shit happened. I got the ticket. Boom. Now, take the wheel. That means take control over what you're going to do next. I remember a long time ago, 95, I sold my first company, but really it was a shitty divorce. My partner, who was my best man at my wedding, he stabbed me in the back and betrayed me, and it hurt bad. I liked the money. I got a ton of money for walking away, but he hurt me bad. Well, I ruminated over that shit for years until I just dealt with it. And once I dealt with it, I went like, okay, I'm sorry. He's just a narcissist and a psychopath. Like, he literally thinks about himself, nobody else. And two, he can't even empathize with anybody else. He doesn't even know that he's hurting your feeling, that he's stabbing you in the back. Because in his mind, there's no such thing. It's just like, that's how humans are to him. And it's a terrible way to do it. But the point is, had I just dealt with it early on, feel the feel, and then take the wheel, that way I could take control of my life. Because you know what? That motherfucker, I let him control my mind in a pissed off negative way for years. In fact, I saw my first shrink after the urging of my wife. She's like, hey, you're waking up 2 years later and you're still, your first thought is, what that motherfucker, what he did to me, you know? So I went to see a shrink and I'm like, hey, shrinks are for weak-minded people and not me. But let me tell you, that turned my way of thinking right around, because this man was very helpful to me. So there you go. So I'd like to end today with an epiphany. And this wraps it all up and together. And this is when I truly changed my life and decided to try to pursue what I thought was important to me and not what I thought other people wanted me to do. So this is pre-pandemic, probably by a few years, 2017, 18. All right, well, I'll put it this way, I was 55, so screw it. That was I'm 66, 11 years ago. So 2012, that's what it was. Jesus Christ, nonetheless. So I was a pond builder in North America. I had one of the biggest, baddest companies, certainly made the most money that anybody I could find, and by a lot. And there was a dude in Canada that was kind of doing the same thing. He was sort of the big pond guy in Canada. Well, the day before Christmas, he was picking up his daughter, the dentist, and got hit by a car. He pulled in front of somebody and he died. And the whole pond world was just shocked. Well, fast forward literally 2-3 weeks, we had already had a pre-planned little symposium, a small group of pond people that were going to meet in Cabo San Lucas in Mexico, just to hang out and kind of share things. And I went, and there was like 45 of us down there. And it's a whole week long of activities. Well, one of the things we did, this dude's name was Perry, the guy from Canada who just died. The people from Aquascape, the big mothership, the big manufacturer of all the pond equipment, who put this event on, decided to honor him by having all of us light these air balloons. These are 4 foot tall and wide, looks like hot air balloons, but they're miniature, but you light the candle and they float up in the sky. And we lit 45 of these things. They were all white. The night was beautiful. We're on the Sea of Cortez. It's a full moon. The stars are out. No clouds. Beautiful. It's probably 75 and just breezy. And so we send all these things up, 45 of them. And you know, I'm not a religious person, but just watching these things rise, everybody started to just tear up. And you could see the sort of the wind flow, the jet stream. All the balloons would swish to the right together, and then they'd swish to the left together. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is a moment. And all of a sudden, one balloon, all the balloons swished left. One balloon went off by itself to the right. And someone looked up there and said, that's Perry. Now, Perry was a very happy guy. He took every situation and turned it into a positive one. At every dance, he was dancing all the dances, even though he couldn't dance. I never danced because I was so full of self-judgment. I can't shake my booty in front of other people. But this moment when they said, that's Perry, he's kind of leading the way. He's going against the pack. Like, all of us are embedded in, let's think, have negative thoughts. But he's like the one dude, like my mom, positive, positive, positive. I looked around and the tears started to flow for me. I looked around and all 45 others are looking up in the sky and the tears are flowing down. And the big guy who owns the whole manufacturing company, he just steps in the middle of that crowd right then and there and says, look, you cannot determine the day you'll leave this planet, but you and only you can determine how you live every day while you're on this planet. So I challenge each and every one of you to be a happy person like Perry was. Follow his example. You decide if today is going to be a good day or a bad day. So go do it. And man, that was the right words at the right time, at the right place in my life. Because I said, you know what? Screw it. He's right. Why do I have to wake up and hate my ex-partner, you know, after years? Why do I have to think about all these bad things? Why do I have to like dwell in the past? I can't fucking do anything about it. Why do I keep thinking about this shit in the future? What do I think? I have a crystal ball? I don't. So why don't I just live here, live now, try to make every day a great day? And I turned and walked off that beach and my life was changed forever. I know the first thing I thought, I said, I know who I need to eject from my life. I need to extricate the negative people out of my life. And I did just that. I stopped hanging around with them. I only put myself in front of positive people. And I also determined at that moment that my true joy, because I was already doing a bunch of coaching, but I said, that's my true joy, is to share what I have and give it to others so they can live the joyful life that I have. I want everyone else, I want you to know what I've known by being a good person, building a nice business, building up a bank account so you can not just change your life, that's not the important part, but you change the lives of everybody around you, your kids, your family, your spouses, your employees, everybody. That shit ripples out for the eons. Trust me, generations from now, we'll look back and go, grandma, grandpa, fill in your name. They changed the genealogy of our family tree. They changed everything. Because you know what? Are you doing the same shit your great-grandfather did to your grandfather, to your father, to you? Of course you are. Your job is to change that shit right now and pass good stuff on to your kids. So by the time you get, you know, great-great-great-great grandkids down the road, you have changed your family tree. How's that for a Christmas gift? That's it for today. I hope you go back and re-listen to this thing, because if you can capture just some of what I'm talking about, you will have a way more joyful life than you otherwise are going to have. So happy holidays. This is Steve. If it's not the holidays and this is just a replay, this is still Steve. So have a great week. I'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Thanks. Bye-bye.